appreciate that. And we also know several of you, you're involved on an individual basis every single month as well. And we thank you so much. I'll be sharing a few stories as I go along today. I just got back from Nairobi, actually three different campuses. One of our students there, he's ministering on the border to Somalia. If you know about Somalia and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab and all these different things going on there. He was just sharing 27 Muslim women are gotten saved. And so he's discipling them, but because of the conditions and the things he's working with, he's having to disciple them in secret because of repercussions that would happen if things were to become known publicly. So that's on the Somali border. We're working in the Congo as well. And I've got great news. When everybody's trying to figure out what to do during these times, all of our operations in Kenya became self-sufficient financially, which is a phenomenal milestone in missions work. Thank you. And that is because we live what we preach. We help individuals, churches, businesses to become self-funded, self-sustaining, and building their own communities from within. Well, how can you do that if we can't show them by example as well? So that's where things are at in Kenya. Now we're working in the Congo to set up operations in the Congo. And so your support today predominantly goes to startup expenses with setting up operations in a new country. So just great, great milestone there. Well, did you bring your Bible today? Well, that's wonderful. You can open it to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And I'll be sharing today with the life of God, the life of Christ, or the life that we have in Christ. John opens chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, that's what we're celebrating this Christmas, that the Word came to us. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not or cannot overcome it. You know, we work in various dark areas. We work on the border to Somalia. We've trained up the Kenyan security personnel along that border, and they open up public churches in places where we couldn't figure out how to open churches, but they take care of their own protection and open public churches in that area, and we train them. Just amazing. Now we're going into the Congo, which is one of the most challenging areas in all of sub-Saharan Africa. And there's stories I wish I could tell, but it's so R-rated that I can't tell many of the stories from in there. Just the atrocities, 5 million people been killed in the last 30 years in this area. That's where we're going into work. And so, you know, people say, well, the message you share, we need here in America. Yes, I understand that, but you can't compare what we're dealing with there compared to what's happening in the Indian reservations or the inner cities and different things here in the United States. But there is something here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and darkness could not overcome it. And we find that so many people, they focus on, let's chase away the darkness. Let's fight against the darkness. I don't know who came in here first this morning, but I would believe it was pretty dark in here at 7 a.m. Well, what do? You box up the darkness and ship the darkness out? No, you turn on the light. Jesus is the light. And so the way to combat the darkness of this world is to turn on the light. Because Jesus is the life. He is the light. He is the truth. It's the same with a lie. You don't fight a lie by fighting a lie. The way you fight a lie is by telling the truth. And over time, it'll be evident what's truth and what's a lie. So you focus your energies on sharing the light and sharing the truth. And you don't have to worry about the darkness, because the darkness will dissipate if we do a good job of shining the light. Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. Then in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. Everybody say right. Right. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who believe in Christ, those who believe in the light, those who believe in the truth, those who believe in the answer, he gave the right to become children. Well, we're born overseas in Norway. I have a Norse name. Vidar is a Viking name. My dad's name is Thor. Marvel did a halfway decent job of copying our heritage. My grandmother's name is Helga. And there are days that our three-year-old is nicknamed Helga too, because she has some of the traits. But you see, my natural lineage, my grandfather, and if you go all the way back to Noah and back to Adam, is all the lineage of the fallen Adam. But when I believe in the light, then I'm no longer children or a child of my earthly parents. My flesh still is, I understand that. My hair color didn't change, my height didn't change, my accent didn't change. But I'm a child of God. Right, right, right. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child of the truth. I am the child of life. And that life, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. The very one who created the heavens and the earth is my Father. That's my heritage. That's my lineage. And I have a right to be a child. Now, you know, we have slums where we work, and you can take a person out of the slum, and there's a saying that it says that it's a whole lot harder to get the slum out of the child than it is to get the child out of the slum, because that's the mindset. You can physically remove them out of the slum, and you can imagine that if the president of Kenya were to go visit the slum and pick up one of these children that missionaries tend to pick up and put in an orphanage, if he were to pick up one of the children and take him to the state house, then go, I like this child, I'm going to adopt this child. Give the child a new last name. Everything changes for that child. If they then were to go to the bank to take care of business or whatever, because of their name, the reception at that bank is going to change. But there is something that this president would have to do immediately. There is the legal rights would change immediately the day that this child is adopted. But the mindset of the child does not change on the day that the legal rights change. And so if you don't do anything with changing the mindset of this child, then the child will live as if he is a child of the slum. And pardon me, but this is where most Christians are today. Living as if we are still children of the world. But there is a mindset that needs to change. And it is this, that the very life of God that created everything is my heritage. I am a child of life, and I need to walk and think and act like it. Over in Romans chapter 5, God is my Father. That changes everything. And not only is my Father out externally someplace, but I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. The very power that created the heavens and the earth, the life of God, is not external to me. So when I have a problem, I don't have to run and go try to find the answer someplace. The spirit of the Antichrist might be in the world. 1 John chapter 4 talks about that. But greater is he who is in me. So you see, everything for that child of the slum changes the day that they are adopted into the family of the president. Everything is changed. But if you take that child out of the state house without having transformed their mind, they're going to run the streets the same way they've always been running the streets. I'm a different person. I might be the son of Thor, but I've got a way better heritage than anything Marvel can try to come up with. In Romans chapter 5, and in verse 5, it says that God's love has been poured into our hearts. What is God's love? God is love. That's His very nature. That's His very character. That was poured into me the day that I believed in Him. He gave me the right to be a partaker of His family with the rights and the privileges. And not only that, but He took the old heart of stone, He took it out, and He gave me a new heart where His nature and His abilities were deposited within me. Well, I've got an option when I wake up in the morning. I can think in accordance with the truth, or I can think in accordance with the ways of this world. And which way I think is going to set what my day is going to look like. Not only what my day looks like, but what the future looks like for my wife, for my family, and all the people I come into contact with. Because I'm a child of the light. And in verse 8, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, at that time Christ died for us. He doesn't wait for the alcoholic to put away the bottle. He doesn't wait for the prostitute to put the clothes back on. Whatever condition we've been in, whatever condition we are in, Christ died for the ungodly while they were still ungodly. But since therefore now we have been justified by His blood. In verse 17, if because of one man's trespass, that's Adam, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is a legal term in the Greek and Roman empires. And it means when you are presented to court and you have an indictment on you, there is only two possible outcomes. It's either guilty or not guilty. It's the only two possible outcomes of a court case. And it says here, righteous means declared not guilty, as if in a court of law. In the court of the universe, we have been declared not guilty because we were adopted into the family of truth, into the family of life, into the family of the one who created everything. If He says, I am righteous, then, you know, I don't care who my accuser is. Be it Satan himself or be it some other man, it don't make any difference to me. You can say, you can do, you can anything you want to do, it don't matter. Because I'm a child of the light. And He is the one who said it. So whatever else anybody else wants to say, water off a duck's back. Amen. To receive the abundance of grace and the free gift. So many people think it's a 99% rebate. Righteousness is not offered at a take 10, pay for one kind of a discount system. It's a free gift. And they shall reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I just talked to a student. She just graduated a couple of weeks ago. She comes to school, lives in a rundown, dilapidated house, got problems paying the bills. She goes through a two-year training program. During the two-year training program, she builds a five-story apartment building. She can't even pay her own rent. How does that happen? It happens through a transformative mindset of, I am a child of the light. That's right. And she goes out acting like it. Today, she lives on one floor. She rents out four other floors, and people are paying her rent. She didn't pay rent to anybody. 2 years transformation. I talked to another graduate of ours, Samson Kissimmee. I might be the son of Thor. He is the grandson of somebody who was offered to be the chief of the entire Maasai tribe. If you know anything about the Maasais, they're warriors. They're nomadic, and they're warriors, and they're really, really good security people. The manhood ritual, or the ritual of passage, when you're a teenager in this tribe, you're given a spear, and you're expected to come back with the hide of a lion. That's the kind of people these are. And they're known to be very, very hard to reach with the gospel. You will never see a Maasai crying, ever. That's just the kind of people they are. Samson Kissimmee is well-educated, well-trained. He's got the world's resources at his disposal. He chooses to live in the villages, and he has started over 50 churches. Think about that. 50 churches this man has started, and he's got every reason to live very, very comfortably because of his natural heritage. And he started churches in far remote villages of the Maasai people, and other pastors come to him and say, you're starting churches in villages that we have given up on. That place is so hard to reach, you can't, is their mindset. But Samson has a different mindset. I've got the life of God in me. Greater is the one who is in me than any problem and obstacle that is possible to encounter. He started three primary or elementary schools. And he'll go from village to village to village, start a church to bring the light into that village, to help with children's education. And then he rescues girls from forced marriages when they're 12, 13, 14 years old. See, we're supposed to be reflectors of the light that is in us. But you can't be a reflector of the light that is in us unless I have to be conscious of that light each and every day. Because if I don't consistently renew my mind with the truths, that the truth is in me, the life is in me, then I'm going to renew my mind with CNN or some other lies. It's all lies. If it didn't come from here, if this is not the source of the information, then it's not true. Because this is the truth and the only truth and the only source of truth. So I've got to live like this. You see, I'm an ambassador. We have the American ambassador in Nairobi. I went to his house one day. And the moment I passed that gate, I'm no longer under the authority of the Kenyan police. I'm under the authority of U.S. Marines the moment I pass that gate. You can't get in without a U.S. passport. This is in Kenya. And the napkin, the very napkin at the table, is shipped in from the United States with the U.S. presidential seal on the napkin. Paper is 8.5 by 11, not standard A4 size paper that the rest of the world uses. Why? Because the U.S. ambassador in Nairobi, he lives out of the resources of the United States. And he has an instruction, do not live like a Kenyan. You are here to represent the U.S. interest in Kenya. You live like an American, even if you're facing the president of Kenya. I am an ambassador of the Lord. And I live according to his instructions. And when I live according to his instructions, his resources become my resources. And so it doesn't matter if we're going through a pandemic. It doesn't matter if the stock market crashes. All those things don't change who I am. Nor do they have the ability to change the truth that is in me. I am still an ambassador for God Most High. Yeah. regardless of what goes on in this world. So Samson thinks like that, and he goes into areas that are supposed to be even impossible to reach with the gospel. He's done it for so long now, he comes to me and says, Pastor Vidar, do you have a harder place I can come and work? So I tell him about our operations on the Somali border, where we're dealing with Al-Qaeda, and the head of intelligence on the Kenya side is one of our graduates, and sometimes I have to call him up and say, hey, where are they at right now, because I'm going into this place and there's some of that going on. He says, yeah, I've been through those areas, and Kenyan police is there, it's not that bad. You know, these are guys who are used to taking care of lions by themselves. He says, do you got some harder place to work? Today is on the Congo team. It's a harder place. Mature people don't look just at their own needs. They look at how to be the light for somebody else. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, the thieves comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That means more than enough. In Romans 8:32, Paul says it like this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? There is an abundance of life that belongs to us through the rights and the privileges of being a child of Almighty God. But sometimes I've got to renew my mind with some things in the Word of God if I'm going to experience these things. I remember the first conference we had in Nairobi. We had worked in Kenya for quite some time. Nairobi is kind of the Manhattan of Africa. The place in America that looks and reminds me the most of Nairobi is actually Manhattan, New York City. The people, the buildings and things going on there, the busyness and all this. It's a very different place from some of the pictures that you saw here on the screen. We live in a, not live, but our, my office is ninth floor. I oversee the whole skyline of the city, and we're in a beautiful, beautiful glass building. Here in the U.S., we live in Tulsa. If that building was in Tulsa, it would have been a state-of-the-art office building. So those things are also in Africa. But we're doing a conference, and we've had a very, very rough year. One of my friends committed suicide, and we had all kinds of other things going on, and we come up to this conference, and the funding is not yet available. And because we don't have a big team yet like we do today, today we can have a conference. I fly in and show up the day of the conference, and everything is set, and I'm just showing up to speak. It's different after a while. But in pioneer mode, and so we're working from before we wake up, and you work until after you fall asleep in the evening. You understand what I'm talking about? This one night, the funding is not there. It's a week or 10 days before the conference, and I'm drifting asleep at night, and I'm realizing, wait a minute, there's a concern. I'm concerned about the finances of this conference. And I realize that I'm supposed to roll my cares and my worries on the Lord so that He can be working on the problem. He tends not to be working on the problem if I'm working on the problem. So it's midnight. I get out of bed and I start meditating on the scripture. See, you got to go back to the truth to remind ourselves of the truth. After about an hour, I get to the point that I finally got that care rolled off. I keep meditating on scripture. It's 2 a.m. and I'm dancing in the living room in the middle of the night. I'm so excited. See, when you get excited about the Word of God will work for you. The money came in. I cut the check 4 p.m. Business closed at 5 p.m. The conference started the next day. But you see, when you walk with God, you know what His promises are, and you know that you know. Not that you know that some preacher said so. Not that you know that there's a Bible on the shelf that says something about it. But you know that you know. Then you walk in accordance with that, and we continue making all the preparations, and I know the finances are coming in. This is what the life of God in us will do. As we meditate on that word, we get excited about that word. Over in Luke chapter 4, Jesus started his ministry, and he reads from Isaiah. And he says in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He said, "I came to give life and give life abundantly." And I always read this as though this is wonderful. This is what Jesus came to do. I've read the New Testament I don't know how many times, but one day I'm reading over in John 17, and I want you to see this. In verse 18, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's praying for the disciples, and he says to the Father, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Think about that. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Verse 20, "I don't ask for these only, these 12 that you see at the table there, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Also for those who believe in me through their word. Well, that's me. I have been sent as Christ was sent. Some of you didn't get that. Look at that one more time in verse 17, verse 18. "As you sent me into the world." Well, I asked the question, if I am sent as Christ, then how was he sent? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. He repeated himself after he rose from the dead in chapter 20, verse 21. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus said to them again, "peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." I went back to Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said. And I said, wait a minute. As Jesus was sent, I am sent. So the Spirit of the Lord is not only on Jesus, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the scriptural way to read this. And I can see just by looking at, some of us are thinking about this. And that's all right. But I dare you, think about this until you realize this is the truth. And when you wake up in the morning, you think, the greater one is in me. He is bigger than the very Antichrist. That's right. I'm not afraid of Antichrist. I know who's the biggest. That's me. Because the greater one is in me. I'm not afraid of darkness. I'm the light. I carry the light. You know, we sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine." I can't stand the song. I don't have no little light in me. The God who created the heavens and the earth is the one in me. The biggest light that there is on the inside of me. Somebody said, "I went to that place, there was no God in that place." And I went, "What? Did you leave him at home?" I've never been someplace where God isn't. Because he's always in me. I'll never find that place. But you see, I've got to walk in the consciousness. The one who created the heavens and the earth is in me. The Spirit of the Lord, he is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's me. That's you, because you have the same Bible I got. Amen. Don't take my word for it. You wake up in the morning, you need to take God's word for it. And then you live like this. One of the things that Jesus was to do was he taught, he preached, and he healed the sick. Who here you need a healing touch in your body? Because that life of God is in me, and it's going to go into your body and take care of that thing. Who is that? Let me see your hand. Come here. Just come here. I saw a couple more hands back here. If you want a healing touch, you come here. This thing is easy. Don't make it hard. I'll come down here. In the name of Jesus. Behold. Glory. In the name, behold, this very moment, don't you ever come back. What is it, sir?
Diabetes, and just, I'm asking the Lord to help me out to do his will. I know I have a calling.
In the name, in the name. We command this sickness to leave him at this very moment. And give him wisdom and understanding concerning life, concerning your plan, concerning your assignment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's working in your life. He's working in your body. Who else we got?
Stuff in my eyes.
You're not seeing clearly? Not seeing clearly?
Yeah, not seeing
clearly. Let me pray for you. In the name, clear up, in the name of Jesus, life. Now, look around. Is there something you can look at? How is it? You cleared up? That life is so simple, people. What's the matter?
I have pancreatitis.
Here?
Yes.
In the name, whole life in Jesus' name. Is this something that's been painful when you came today? Is it painful now? Take a deep breath. Start moving around. Where's that pain at?
It's not here.
The pain is gone. Jesus. Glory. He's a good God. He came to give us life and give it abundantly. Who we got, ma'am?
They tell me that I have cancer in my kidney. Can't operate.
In the name, behold, you got to go. And you got to go now. Dry up, wither, in the name of Jesus. In the name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Was there one more? We ran about.
My hands started hurting a few weeks ago.
With both of them or one?
Just this one here.
This one here. Well, be whole. Now, Jesus' name. Now, move that hand. Is there pain there? You got full movement? Pain is gone, you got full movement. Praise Jesus. God is a good God. There's one more. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I've got diabetes, and my fingers lock up, and I can't. And I got carpal tunnel, and I got a big knot up here. It hurts all the time.
You want to just take care of all of it?
Yes. I do.
In the name, be whole. Yeah. Okay, let's move that hand. How's that hand?
It's better.
It's better? Mm-hmm. Well, better is good.
Yeah.
Like what? 2% better? 10% better? Where are we at?
It is 100% better because I could not get these fingers to touch here.
You couldn't get those fingers? Well, they're touching there now.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, your whole body. Fully, fully, fully restored in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. I'm not special. I just read the word this morning. The way that Jesus was sent is the way that you're sent. But what you do with it is up to you. He's done everything he's going to do about it. He's made salvation available. He's made healing available. He's made his plans, purposes for your life available to you. And he is asking, go into all the world, preach the gospel everywhere. There's a million different ways to do it. But there is only one mission that's acceptable. Only one mission that's acceptable. I want to read more. I'll just jump up here. I'm going to read one more scripture. In Hebrews 10. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is known as the Hall of Faith. You find Abel. You find Enoch. You find Noah. Can you imagine Noah? I don't know how many years he built that ark for. It might have been 100 years. Not really any converts, but the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. These people, none of them in Hebrews 11, modeled their ministry after somebody else. Every one of them had a relationship with God where they got their instructions from above. That takes a little bit more than showing up on Sunday morning. It makes you've got a relationship that continues Monday. When the boss is really mean, you still have the relationship. And with through marital problems, you still have the relationship with God, and that's number one. Abraham lived in Ur in Chaldea. That was the Manhattan of that time. Then, chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All these people have given us the example of how to live. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. None of them lived in accordance with the patterns of the world. There are examples. We're asked to lay aside the sin, the weight, the distractions. Social media, if that might be the case, whatever it is. In chapter 10, verse 37, 38, and I'm closing with this. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. Thank God Jesus is coming again. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. People of faith, they always move forward in life. You don't find retirement in the Bible. There is always an assignment. There is always a purpose. And that purpose is always bigger than that silver Mercedes you wanted or the new leather sofa at home. I don't mind those things. I've got a leather couch myself and I got a beautiful home. I believe in those things. But those things is not where my purpose lies. We have an assignment which is bigger. Yes, it's godly to take care of our families and work. It's the right thing to do. but there is an assignment which impacts the life of other people. Are you willing to live out that assignment? God called us to Africa. We said yes. We all have different callings. We all have different assignments. Are you willing to live the assignment? The miraculous, that's easy. It's available for anybody. Because we have all been sent in the same way that Jesus was sent.